our opening scripture today. I might have to hustle through it before lunch gets cold, so if you give me the grace of about 15 minutes, maybe we can make it. Are you up for that? No time on time? I know I don't usually ask you that, but this was a scripture that was given to me Tuesday, so I've had a lot of time to think about it. It's Romans 8:15, and some of it I can condense a bit, not get so graphic, but that's me. Romans 8:15, King James Version. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And some initial observations of this verse, there's two spirits mentioned in this verse. One is the spirit of bondage, or the spirit of slavery, and the Holy Spirit, which is called the spirit of adoption. Other translations render the phrase "the spirit of adoption" as God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And the spirit that makes you God's children, a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. So there's two mindsets going on with a verse like this. The spirit of bondage or spirit of slavery is very impersonal. It views God as a slave, as a slave owner, and we, his trembling, fear-filled subjects. A spirit of slavery is manifested in legalistic religion. When Paul taught this, he was thinking about the legalism of the law. It was no longer a law to help people. It was used by the religious leaders to hold people in bondage to it and to punish them severely if they stepped out of line. Many cults and even some Christian denominations put so much emphasis on rule-keeping that they instill fear and a sense of dread in their memberships. God is presented as a taskmaster who is never quite satisfied with anything we do. The bar is always set a bit too high, so people find religious activities to keep themselves busy in a hope that God will accept them for their effort. Even those who have been born again through faith in Christ's sacrifice for their sin, John 3:3, can cling to a spirit of slavery, never realizing the freedom that is theirs with the spirit of adoption. And I know that this really exists. Some of you have come from places that you know what I'm talking about. You don't have any freedom. You sit there, you zip the lip, and I'll do all the talking, and when we're done, you get to go home if I choose it's time for you to go home. And don't think that that doesn't happen. It's way more often than you would think. And it bruises people, it wounds people. They just close up inside, and they have a hard time fellowshipping. They don't want to be in a place where everybody's so free and open, and it's supposed to be so holy and quiet inside, so that if you step on a squeaky board, they'll fire the pastor because he didn't fix it. You know, this spirit that Paul is talking about is rampant. This is some more insight into this. The spirit of slavery was rampant within the Jewish culture when Jesus came to earth. He soundly rebuked the religious leaders for instilling such legalism in people with whom God desired to have a loving relationship. And I have scripture references, Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, Matthew 23, verses 15 through 16. And Paul cautioned the early churches that he fathered to be watchful for the return of that spirit of slavery. This one I am going to read, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Who has bewitched you? Who has deceived you? Who has put you in bondage after Jesus Christ set you free? Putting you back under the law. Oh, you're not really saved unless you keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, you're not really saved. And then they just keep adding things back in so that eventually it sucks the life of the Spirit right out of the person. And they don't even want to go to church anymore. They don't want to have fellowship. It's not a healthy spirit. And Paul had to address that because everywhere he went and he planted churches, the Judaizers would come right back along. Oh, no, you got to get circumcised. At my age, are you kidding? Give me a break. You're trying to put them all back under the law or various portions to keep them under control of the master's hand and not the heavenly master's hand, I must say. Let's see what else. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now let's contrast that with the spirit of adoption. In startling contrast, the spirit of adoption functions like this. The Holy Spirit of God who brings us into God's family. Jesus invited believers to address God as our Father. Matthew 6, 8 through 9. God explained his desire to treat his people as sons and daughters. That's his true will for all of us. 2 Corinthians 6, 18. God has made this spiritual adoption possible through faith in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And based on our confession of faith, of allegiance to him, God adopts us into his eternal family. He makes us joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, Romans 8, 17. We receive the spirit of adoption when we accept, by faith, the grace that has been offered to us in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, Romans 8, 23, John or Luke 10, 27. It is the spirit of adoption who teaches us to call out to God as our Abba Father, dear Daddy God. Very contrasted to the other spirit that you would never, ever think of daring to call God your Father. God forbid you would ever do that. He's God, Most High God. You will worship him. And all that religious crapola. That is not what he desired. He desired you with a free heart and a willing spirit to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what Paul was talking about. Here's some more differences. There's a vast difference between the way sons serve their fathers and the way slaves serve their masters. I want to read that again because he's talking about within the church structure, what man has done to it. There's a vast difference in these two teachings, if you will, between the way sons serve their fathers and the way slaves serve their masters. Slaves may perform duties, sons perform acts of love. Slaves dutifully obey, sons gladly obey. Slaves are motivated by fear of punishment, sons are motivated by love of relationship. Slaves ask, what is required? Sons ask, what else can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I be a blessing to you? The spirit of adoption changes us from fearful slaves to joyful sons and daughters. The spirit of adoption allows us to come boldly through the throne of grace, not trembling and quivering and fearful and shaking and all the stuff that the enemy puts on us. Hebrews 4:16, as a beloved child runs to his father in the times of trouble, because of the spirit of adoption, we can enjoy serving God without fear. or out of obligation, like it's just another thing I have to do. There's a difference, you see, between those two spirits. Serving in our Father's kingdom becomes life's highest ambition, 2 Corinthians 5:30. And in the process of this, I had one more that I was going to read the verse rather than just speak it. And as soon as I get there, I know you'll remember it. Because many of you have quoted it to help yourselves in a like situation. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. But this is what he has done. He's given us the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And this is just a short synopsis. Just to show you when Paul writes his letters, take a few verses and meditate on them, think about them, because there's a huge difference between a religious spirit and the spirit of adoption. And our daughter and her husband adopted a little baby girl, born, and she was adopted immediately. But they chose to adopt her. And she's been given a wonderful home. She's 8 years old now. Some of you, Faith, is showing you pictures of our grandkids. And the wonderful thing about adoption is that they are no less than natural-born parents' children. They have all the same rights. They have all the same inheritance. And when God has adopted you as his child, you have all of the rights, all of the privileges, all of the access to all the things in the kingdom of God, just as if you were born there. But you were born into it through the new birth to enable you to have all of those things freely. And you can't earn them, so don't make religion out of your relationship. Let the freedom of the Spirit nurture that relationship, because there's a great freedom there. And God has given us that spirit of adoption, the spirit that adopted us, because God saw you, he chose you, and you might have thought he took a big risk. But he didn't. He knew all of us. He knew long beforehand, before we were even created, that we would all be in this room together today. And he knew that there would be nothing that could shock him. He saw it all. He knows how our life is going to be. He knows how it's going to end. And yet he still chose to adopt you. So know that you're loved. Know that you're cared for. And don't be afraid that you're going to mess up and God's going to get mad at you and the roof's going to fall in on the church if you come through the front door. No, that doesn't work here. I point to the ceiling already and I say, you see those big cracks in the ceiling? They've been like that for 36 years. And if it ain't fallen in yet, you ain't going to be the first one. Not only that, but the train goes through the cornfield behind the church about 10:45. And you'll see the screen start shaking and the projector start shaking. That's the train going through and the ceiling still didn't fall in. So praise God, there's hope for you. And I'm just going to leave it right there. You have been born again of the spirit of adoption and not of the spirit of fear and slavery, because fear has bondage. And you are no longer in bondage to the law. Your freedom is in Christ, in the law of the Spirit of Christ. And that's where your freedom is, and it will always be. In Jesus' name. There. Now we can pray and have lunch.